Good morning. I want to start out by saying I know exactly what you're thinking. If your last final is on December 12th, you are 53.4% of the way through the semester. And finally, we're going to get to talk about net present value of future cash flows and asset valuation. Now, before we go, we'll calm down. Before we have meats and potatoes like net present value, we got to get rid of that salad first. So we're going to start out with bank recons. How many has ever heard of a bank reconciliation? Like four. So back in the day, let me start by saying that when we moved here about 15 months ago, and in that process, you've got to kind of figure out what you're going to bring with you and what you're going to throw away and not bring. And we started by going through the house. And We started by going through our house and finding the things that we didn't want to take with us. And that is the doorway to the basement, and that is not Photoshopped. When you open a door and see that, it's a little bit unnerving. But it's a little bit like doing an archaeological dig. And what I discovered in boxes that were in the basement was ancient bank relics that included cleared checks and bank statements. And to understand that, you need to understand that back in the day, checks were the primary way of paying for things. And you actually wrote a check and gave it to a person or put it in the mail. And there was a monthly process that you actually did a bank reconciliation. Now, my process was that I got paid once a month on the first of the month. So I sat down and wrote all my payments out for my student loan, for my rent, for my electricity and water, and paid all those things and put them in the mail and sent them off. And then every month you would receive an envelope that had all the canceled checks, and you would sit down and do the bank reconciliation. And this was not just a subculture of the cool kids. This was kind of everybody did it. And it was not just accounting majors that did this. It was everybody. Because you didn't know how much was in your bank account unless you did this. So September 1991, I had a rude awakening. I went through and did the bank recon. And in my bank statement, I had about $900. And if you don't, some of you have already seen it, but if you didn't, there was a huge unrecorded debit. That was about $840. So for the remainder of the month, I had $53 to my name. So like 23 days in the month, I had $53 to my name. Now, I had some choices to make. I could not call my parents and say, "Can you give me some money?" A, they didn't have the money to give me. If you looked at my family, I was the 13th of 28 grandchildren. I was the first person in my family in any generation to go to college. So here I was, college graduate, CPA, working at a bank, and I can't control my debit card. And I can't call my parents and say, you know what, I'm going to go bankrupt because I eat at San Antonio Taco three times a week. And I'm going bankrupt because I eat 48 Dunkin' Donut Munchkins three times a week. That's just not something you call your parents and admit to. So as I was going through this, talking to my wife about this, she said, you need to bring a relevant today conversation to this. So let's say you're at Starbucks and you're about to get that joyous pumpkin spice latte. And I there's no judgment here. I do not own a pair of Uggs. But I will tell you that I love me some pumpkin spice. But let's say you get up to the line and that $7 drink, you go to pay with your phone and it doesn't have enough money. And you look at your bank account and you realize that Xbox Live has auto-renewed and debited your account. Now, I just saw all the esports teams' heads come up. Let me rephrase. Reigning national champ esports team just raised their head and said, there's a hack for that. You don't have to go through that process. But the situation is now you don't have enough money to buy that pumpkin spice. What are you going to do? So here's the options. And this, we're going to take this from a real life event down to what is this like in the real world or the spiritual world. We can live in this area of, okay, I've got some really bad news. I've got some really bad struggles. I'm going to white knuckle through it. I'm going to, with my willpower, I'm going to quit doing that thing that I've always done. Or I'm going to put a mask on and pretend like there's nothing wrong here, folks. There's nothing to see. And I'm never going to let people know who I am. Or I could choose to live in misery. I could choose to live in this sense of I'm going to clean up the outside and nobody's going to see my problems from an external viewpoint, but I know who I am on the inside. And it's not a pleasant person. How many of you have seen, how many of you have seen this artwork? And obviously nobody has seen it because I spent hours doing this just last night, so this is brand new. But how many of you have this image of God in your head? This image that God's angry at us, and he's just waiting for us to slip off the tightrope from the cauldron, the boiling cauldron of our sin, and God's ready to punish us, so we have to go back and start over again. I got to tell you, I lived that way for a very long time, and it is not a fun life, and is not what we're told that we should be experiencing. Thank you, Claudia, for reading. Romans 6 says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. And our experience doesn't match that, because the sin feels very alive. And that word counts, my good friend Brian Cologne tells me that word, the Greek word for that is logits este. And he told me to emphasize the eats, I-T-Z. Logits este is the same word that we get our word logic from. And it's also an accounting term for reconciliation. Reconciling to the greater truth. But my experience tells me that I am a failure. That I haven't been dead to sin. That the sin that I felt before is still strong in my life. And I get that sense that God is angry because I know I'm not worthy and I see the way I live. But what if God isn't who we think he is, and neither am I? There's a great book called The Cure, and the subtitle is, What If God Isn't Who You Think He Is and Neither Are You? And it talks about this idea of people putting masks on. I don't know if you can see up there in the upper left-hand corner. True Face is the original version of the book, and it talks about wearing masks and never allowing people to know who you really are. So what if God's economy is upside down? What if he calls things true that go against our experience? Our experience is we have failures, we have loss. But God calls true, you are my beloved. You are my child. And regardless of what you've done, regardless of what you're doing today, I still love you. I'm not going to leave you in that mess. But I still love you. You are good enough. What if this is the better image of our relationship with God? Not like from an artistic standpoint, but what if God is so happy that you've accepted Christ that he embraces you? And he says that all that struggle that you dealt with has been redeemed. That is the true God. That is the good message, and that is where peace comes. See, eternal life is not a destination across a tightrope of white knuckling that you've got to be afraid of. Eternal life is for today. It's not a long off until you die thing. It is, in John 17, Christ says, this is eternal life, that they know you. That's present tense. He's saying you can start experiencing eternal life now in Jesus Christ. Truth isn't a bank account number. It's not a grade. It's not a score. Truth is a person, and the person of Jesus Christ. And the reconciliation that he's talking about in Romans chapter 6 is being reconciled to the truth, who is Jesus Christ. When you're reconciled to Jesus Christ, you are being made holy. He says, make them holy by thy word. Thy word is truth. And in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is the truth that we need to reconcile to. And the truth says, you are mine. I have redeemed you. There is no reason to walk around in this tightrope sense of doubt and fear that you're going to fall off the tightrope and you have to go back to the beginning. God is angry with you. So just, I want to share from you a personal life story, not the poor bank reconciliation process or the lack of control of a debit card. I'm speaking to you from 6 decades of experience that willpower fails 100% of the time. You might last a day, you might last a week, but willpower fails 100% of the time. Putting a mask on and pretending like things are okay denies the possibility of living out loud, living in community with other people. And just pretending like everything is okay causes you to have to isolate. And that's not what God has for you. What God has for you is a life of community, living out loud into His reality and His truth of who you are. There is no peace without knowing Jesus Christ and knowing Him personally and walking with Him in community. We're about ready to be dismissed, but I want to take just a second and I want you to think about where you are, Lubbock Christian University, Christ-centered university. And there are people in this room who have the same experience of me, that they've tried all the things that didn't work. They've lived in misery. And I hesitate to do this, but if you would be willing to walk with students, maybe you're not a professor, maybe you're not in the faculty position, but if you're willing to walk with students, would you stand up? Maybe you're a student who has been through difficult things and you have come to know Christ in a real way. I want you to look around. Maybe there's some students that would like to stand up too and say, hey, I will walk with you. I will let you know me personally and I will get to know you personally. Are there any students that would stand up and say, hey, I want to be someone that walks with people? This is how community happens. This is where the tightrope goes away. This is where the masks come off and Christ is sensed and real. The Holy Spirit moves among us in ways. I can tell you, I'm blown away by everybody standing up. I'm an accountant. I got to get under control. I got to tell you, folks, seeing you stand up and say, I want to walk with each other, blesses me, and I hope it blesses you. So go out today in peace, knowing that Jesus Christ has walked across the cauldron. He's done away with your sin. He's got His arms around you and loves you in ways that you've never understood. I don't want to hear anybody say, I can't be good enough, I'm not worthy, because Jesus Christ says, that is not truth. Reconcile to the truth, Jesus Christ, and be dead to sin and live in peace with each other. You're dismissed.